There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is Jimmy. Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Neat Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con post-Dragon Con wrap-up. Our final post-con wrap-up for the 2013, right? Yeah, 2013.
It is, but you say it's our final, but I bet something happens.
Well, whatever. For the 2013 the thing that just happened a couple weeks ago. It was only a couple weeks ago. Seems like it's forever ago now.
I wanted to be back. Right at 2, believe it or not.
Yeah,
right
no. at 2. As we record this. So joining me as always is the lovely Lee, and Lee has brought on two special guests. You want to introduce them?
I have brought on our two new co-chairs for Dragon Con. I don't like to say co-chairman because one of them is female. But this is Dave and Rachel, Dave Cody and Rachel Reeves. Rachel has been on the 50 Days podcast before. Her position was senior director for guest services, and Dave has also been with Dragon Con for a long time as the gaming division chair. So, hi guys, I'm glad you're on.
Howdy.
Hey, howdy. Thanks for having us.
No problem. It's our pleasure.
Oh, thank you guys for being here.
I do have a first question. I want to go right out of the gate with this. Is that as Lee would say, you didn't run fast enough? Is that what happened?
Pretty much.
You can say that.
We were out of the room when the straws were drawn and we lost.
Of course.
Sure did.
Never, ever go to the bathroom. Never, ever go to the bathroom. That is the rule from Dragon Con right there.
Of course, the longtime chairman, Pat Henry, has stepped down, stayed on as president, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Both of you have been assigned. So it takes two of you to do what he did before. Is that how that works? Or are you guys still keeping your responsibilities from before? How does it work?
Some of each, actually. One thing that was not as widely known, we have had someone co-chairing with Pat for the last, I think, 3, possibly 4 years.
And
was Robert Dennis. And then Dave has actually, Dave Cody, my sidekick. You know, we're doing it together this year. He actually was with Pat too for the last 2 years, acting as co-chairman. So it's not very well known, but it's something that, while yes, we drew the short straws, has definitely been in motion for the last few years. This transition, as all of us find it to be a very important transition. We all know the contributions that Pat had specifically, and so this has been a few years in the making, honestly.
Well, and it's just been, we talked about this, Rachel, I think when you were on, and I know we talked about it when Pat was on, but, and Dave, you've seen it because you were there when I was just a lowly staffer and didn't have the awesome blue badge of director. But it has grown so much. It has, we had people who were leaving their filming, coming for 2 days and going back to do filming because they wanted to be at Dragon Con. Of our guest stars. And it's just kind of amazing how big it's gotten and how much fun people are having. Cause people were saying they come, they come because it's fun. I don't, it's not as one person said to me, this doesn't feel like work. And I'm like, good. Cause we're exhausted by the end. That's how it's supposed to feel for you, which is good. So, I mean, how much have you, cause you've been with Dragon Con since the very beginning, right, Dave?
Yes, I have. I'm one of the founders, and as a matter of fact, as Pat likes to tell the story, I actually brought Pat into the company. I had worked with Pat at a very small gaming convention in the early 80s, and Pat ran our vendor halls. So when we were forming Dragon Con, did anybody know a guy who could do a vendor hall? And I said, yeah, I know a guy, and I think he'd be interested. So here we are. And one of the reasons why Pat's not really going anywhere. Don't make that mistake.
He's still going to have
his hands in everything we do. But as we've grown kind of explosively the last 2, 3, 4 years, you know, some of the things we've done in the past don't scale to what we're doing now. So he's kind of taken a step back to look at what we do overall in all of our areas and spend some time in examining that and improving those functions while Rachel and I concentrate on actually running the convention.
Interesting. So what actually does the chair people person do? What is their actual responsibility come up leading up to Dragon Con and then at Dragon Con?
Oh, my. It really depends on it because currently we have no plans to depart our past roles.
Okay.
And so, oh, okay.
Yep. So really in the co-chair, the biggest thing that we are responsible for is the day-to-day preparation and running of the convention. So we are basically charged with looking over kind of everything, making sure there's, you know, continuity in the planning and that, you know, things aren't getting missed. And we are taking those steps to think about how we must scale as it, you know, gets larger and those sorts of things. So we as a team are kind of making the decisions on the actual convention, those 4 days of, you know, bliss, madness, whatever you want to call it, and just making sure, you know, that happens. And so we both will keep, we really haven't had too many discussions, but the envisionment is for us to both keep kind of what we're really good at, what we have our experience in, which Dave does all of our IT, as well as our gaming and just registration and so many other things. And myself still doing the guest and all of the media side of things. And then just as a team, just making sure that we're, you know, looking over all other aspects and making sure we're supporting the senior directors and all of the other teams and kind of making those decisions that, you know, might need to be knocked up a level to get a broader perspective on some of those decisions.
Well, and one thing I want to make sure that everybody heard is that Rachel said 4 days of bliss. So as you heard from one of the co-chairs, it's not getting longer, people. Not yet. Just come on Wednesday and Thursday and have fun with your friends, man. But just I am reiterating. Right. Thank you, Dave. Dave, jump in there, man. Because I know that's been something that keeps being brought up. Why don't we just make it a whole week? And then
Well, Wednesday has become the new Thursday.
Yes.
We're not quite up to scheduling any programming on Thursday night. Those are for, you know, fans get together.
Uh-oh, your iPad.
Dave, you're actually going away. Redo that, please.
Well, you know, Thursday night is good for fan get-togethers. We may sprinkle some bands around. You know, we did the Braves night, although we can't do it next year because the Braves are out of town. But there'll be no scheduled programming on Thursday night next year.
How dare the Braves go out of town?
Yeah.
They should know better.
They should know better. I will say it was great. I actually got to go to see one of the bands for a brief time on Thursday, and it was great to have a band there.
We do enjoy it. We also had a book release that went really well, Sherilyn Pinion's book release on Thursday this year. So, you know, there's certain things that you look at as value added, but oh my heaven, I do like to say 4 days.
We had a good conversation with the Hilton last week where they want to use that big back deck where everyone does photo shoots. They're talking about putting a beer garden type atmosphere back there and maybe a band on Thursday night. So that's something we're going to look at.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. I'm already at the Hilton on Thursday night, so then we can just go in different floors. That'll be fun.
Well, there you go.
Woohoo! That's so awesome. Sorry, you're
talking. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, so speaking of 2013, which is obviously what we just did, for both of you, what went exceptionally well for you this year? I mean, as an attendee, I thought that the con went very smooth. Obviously, there were some new things added in that, of course, every time you add something new, there's going to be some wrinkles that need to be worked out. But for you guys, what were your highlights of this year?
You go, Rachel.
Oh, boy. That's going to be the dorkiest highlight ever. I am so happy. We, for the first time from a guest perspective, partnered with Henson, with Jim Henson Company, and had the Fraggles.
Oh, yeah. That
and
was awesome.
It is one of my favorite things post-con is to see on Facebook how many of my friends or, you know, in the Dragon Con Facebook groups and all that kind of stuff have their profile picture as themselves with Red and Moki.
Yeah.
So that was a highlight for me, was just the whole partnership. They were absolutely lovely. It was totally new territory for us. And to see the ages that flocked to all of their programming, from those little kids that have either never seen it or are just, to the hardcore fans that, you know, that's what I grew up with. So for me, that was a highlight, both on a personal but also on a business. It was just so neat to see how much DragonCon was, you know, it's grown. And now that, you know, we can partner with someone like Jim Henson and bring the actual puppets in and the puppeteers and the creative director and all those things. So for me, that was a true highlight, honestly.
And I mentioned it on your podcast, but Bo, who heads up was a track director for puppetry, I guess is what its title is.
Puppetry.
Yeah. He had nothing but praise for you in getting all that worked out and getting it all put together.
Did.
So
that is so kind, but he absolutely is just a fireball of energy, and, you know, it's definitely something I attribute to, you know, the success to him. It's been a great partnership, and I just look forward to seeing that grow, you know, exponentially as, you know, we get more years.
Great. What about you,
Dave?
Go ahead, Lee.
No, I actually am so jealous of all the people that got to be with the Fraggles, because I have a couple of friends who have changed their picture, and every time I see it, I'm like, okay, I'm really jealous of them. But then I remember that actually I was like running a really big panel at that time. I think I was actually running
Grim.
Grim the exact time.
It was
you were with me.
Yeah, it was in Regency 5 and 6 because the yes. Fraggles were running
were
a little
right
long. Yeah, they ran a little long. And then immediately after they left that panel is when they did the photo shoot stuff. Yeah,
so
were in the middle of the Grim panel.
That was really cool, but yeah. Red and Mookie, that's just kind of awesome. So sorry, but yes, Dave, your turn.
I always try to sneak away and at least see the tail end of the parade, and I got to do that again this year for about 5 minutes.
Yay!
And it always just floors me that, you know, starting the parade just a few short years ago, what it's grown into. And also from my gaming background, you know, the last 2 or 3 years has really exploded down in the main gaming hall. And
to see
that hall full Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and all the different games that are going on and all the people having fun, I always get a big kick out of that.
You know, that is one thing you could start on Thursday. Anyway,
They're down there.
They're already down there, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
If the hotel makes the room available, they're very good about letting us down there. We don't set up the games library or have any scheduled events, but there's folks down there playing.
Uh-huh.
And that thing goes 24-4. Yeah.
I actually
hadn't been down there on Thursday. I didn't know that there was anybody down there on Thursday. I will
People
make my
do
way
their
down
own
there
and start if they can. And then you'll also sometimes just see them on the floor right in front of where they will be for the gaming, going on and playing whatever they can find people to play.
I love that room. That room is so freaking cool. Because, you know, at my house we have a family game night every Sunday, and you know we don't we play board games. Obviously, we're not. Sometimes me and my son will play HeroClix, but for the most part, you know, we're not doing D&D or anything like that right now. But to see all the different sorts of games that are out there, that's such a cool thing, and be able to check them out and play with other folks that are down there, and just, you know, just to, even just to waste, you know, a couple hours down there, kind of just sitting in the hustle bustle of the main contract. It's an awesome, awesome feature of Dragon Con.
Well, thank you.
It is awesome.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned the parade. What are the plans? Are the plans to try and keep the route that went the same next year? Or because personally, I thought I don't know how hard it was on the people that were marching, but it seemed like there was a lot more people that got to see stuff because it wasn't as deep and it wasn't as compact. What's the plans for next year? Do you know?
Well, we just don't know yet. We have not gotten the feedback from the hotels or from the police department. From our point of view, it seemed to go pretty well, but until we kind of get everybody's take on things, we're not going to be able to really plan on what we're going to do for next year.
Hmm. Now,
we've seen all the benefits that you kind of mentioned as well. So I think if anything, you know, we may continue to tweak, but definitely the new route gave us a ton more, you know, more spectator space and good areas for people to watch the parade. So, and Dave's right. We look at feedback from the city, from the hotels, from everybody, you know, to make that call down the road.
And frankly, most of the hotels that are down there are already booked with Dragon Con attendees anyway. And so, you know, having their entrances or exits blocked for a period of time, I can't imagine had much of an effect on them, because really everyone was there to see for Dragon Con anyway. So,
well, I actually helped. I help, as I say, herd the cats, which is get all the people like lined up so they can.
And she dances in the middle of the street too, as I found out as I watched her herding cats.
Did you really have to tell everybody that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Why did you think I wouldn't have to tell anybody that?
I didn't think you had to, but
you're just
okay,
lucky.
You're just lucky.
I had turned my camera off at that time.
I am so glad you turned your camera off. I cannot stand it. But first of all, as Dave was talking about, like how big the parade has gotten. I remember the first year, there was like maybe one or two people like beside each other, and then there was big open spaces, and now. It was so crowded. It was hard to walk from the parade up to the MARTA station. Go through. If you go through the MARTA station, you can go down one escalator and up the other and be on the other side of the street instead of waiting for the whole parade to finish so you can cross Peachtree Street. So it really is kind of amazing. And just how many people come out for the parade. I just am stunned. Stunned. And how big it's gotten. And, you know, there were, what, 7 floats this year? We were so happy when, you know, just anybody
Pretty
would show
amazing.
Up. So it's
yeah,
kind
I
was, of amazing.
I told Lee at one point, and it may have been on one of the 50 Days podcasts, but that I was looking through photos from several years ago, and I had photos from the parade, and I'm like, and, you know, it had to be like the first or second year of the parade. And my buddy Shag, he's like, oh, let's go watch the parade. I'm like, there's a parade? All right, I'll go watch it. And there's like, you know, plenty of space everywhere. It's like, and then you fast forward through the years and just more and more and deeper the people go. But speaking of crowds, so there's been talk on the social medias places and about capping attendance, capping you know, I don't know. I guess it's just attendance. Putting caps on people? Just putting caps on
yes.
people is what I meant. No, putting capping the number of people. Where does Dragon Con stand with that right now? Or is that something that is still being actively looked at? Or is the fact that we're that you're continuing to expand? And you know, of course, it'll vary. Don't know what the plans are for next year as far as hotels, but that you're expanding. Did you see that it was you're still okay with sizing?
Oh, so. I'll take it then.
Yeah.
We actively review that not only at the show, but you know, post and throughout the year. And where we feel is we, quite honestly, internally, kind of all know where that number lies. Not something you know we publicize necessarily, but
right.
you know we are acutely aware of making sure that the environment we provide is. Accessible to our fans, and you can get around. We all saw great improvement with moving around right after the parade, though we feel like there is even more room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have other ideas in mind to keep us away from the cap. You know, it's a tough thing to do because you do want to share the joy that is Dragon Con with, you know, many people, and we have worked to expand our you know, footprint by going to America's Mart and mm-hmm. having the dealer hall over there. And there's absolute room for expansion, and that helped a great deal. But, you know, I would not sit here to say that we never will. We know that there's a position that we have to, or there's a point that we have to. And each year, instead of saying, are we going to cap, it's all understanding that if we have to, we know that we will. But it's really challenging ourselves and our teams to think of other ways to help spread out the people that make that up, especially Saturday. We know that, you know, Saturday's a huge day for us and those kind of things. So, you know, part of it is, yes, you know, possible, and that's something that we began communicating early last year just to kind of get our fans comfortable with the concept of capping attendance and knowing that if we get to that point, we will absolutely communicate and all those sorts of things. So we started the dialogue of it being a possibility one day. But in the meantime, and as we do, we just kind of said, scratch our heads and say, strategically, are there other things that can be done that you can still accomplish and make sure all of our fans are getting a great experience, you know, out of every day? So, yeah, that's the answer for right now. But it is something we're all acutely aware of, and we watch very carefully. You know, we're experiencing the same crowds that our fans are, and that's the one great thing about, you know, being on site and moving around and all those kind of things, is we definitely experience what our fans experience.
There are still a lot of things we can fine-tune, so we're going to be looking at that very closely.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing about capping is just we all just, as you said, we want to share the joy of Dragon Con. You know, I don't want to say no to those people that can only come on Saturday or Sunday, because I know some of them who come that have smaller children, and that's about all they can take. And so, I know you guys are looking at it, and you're looking at it very judiciously, and that makes me feel good, because working for an organization that wants to share the joy, but also wants to share the joy so that the people that are there are having fun as well, which is great. And I know you guys are looking at all that, so that's cool. The other thing that changed this year was moving over to the America's Mart, or whatever it's called now, for the vendor room. Is that going to stay or change, or what are we looking at?
Well, great question. We technically have 1 year of our contract left. The current plan is, unless something drastically changed, that we would be there. We've kind of taken this year as a lot of lessons learned, as I think John so eloquently opened this podcast with, is every time you go into new endeavors or new spaces, you take a lot of lessons away. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what our team is focused on, is, you know, we are keenly aware of social media and listening to our fans and their concerns. And so, you know, we've mapped out a lot of things that we're going to be able to do over there to improve the experience and the flow and the, you know, a bit of a confusion, which part of that is any new thing, it's hard to adapt to. Part of that is no kidding, the expansiveness of the area is really, yes, no kidding, confusing, if not mapped out really, really well. So all those things, you know, we continue to work on. It was new partners, so, you know, learning personalities, learning new spaces, learning all those sorts of things. But the current plan for next year is yes, that we will be there. Again, and, you know, and make the best of it. And it's just like I say, tweak from the experiences we learned this year.
Excellent. Cool.
Well, and David, it's probably something that's near and dear to your heart, seeing as you've been over gaming. One of the things that I liked about America's Mart was that you got to see there was more room for certain things that you would never have been able to fit in the dealer's room and even the exhibit halls that we had prior, which is the one thing I keep talking about. It was just so amazing. I never knew this place existed, which was Geek Chic, I believe it, or was it Chic Geek? Geek Chic? The woodwork folks.
Yeah, the wood furniture.
Oh, my
yes.
Lord, that was some beautiful stuff. Nothing I can afford, but
I know, yeah, we'd have to sell, like, one of our kids.
But,
or half a kid or something, yeah.
Obviously, it wouldn't have necessarily worked in a smaller environment, There, I got to see some new vendors that I had never seen before, because they had a little more room to stretch out. And and frankly, from my perspective, you're absolutely right, Rachel, in that it was one of the things was it was so expansive that you got lost. It was like, wow, this is way bigger. But the movement, the flow moved a lot better. And I've said this several times. Once you employ, dungeon crawling techniques and just stay to one side, stay to one wall,
that's right,
follow it around
the right wall or the left wall, whatever,
and follow it around, you'll eventually get to see everything because they will connect. And that's what me and my buddies did on Sunday. We went through and we just said, okay, stick on this wall and then just zigzag in and out, and we were able to see, go through everything. But yeah, it flowed nice, but of course, you know, there were some things that could have that can be improved. Obviously the mapping out and making sure that everyone knows where everything is, type of thing. I just want to say that even though, and oh, by the way, this is the other thing that I noticed too, is because America's Mart was used for the exhibit hall and the dealer's room. The escalators that are at the back of, I always say Lee's Hotel because I can never remember the order of the hotels.
Marriott.
Were actually usable this year.
They were.
I like how you call it Lee's Hotel.
Oh, it was a huge difference in the Marriott.
It was it was so much easier, especially on that level where, because I'm on the, M level, which has the bridge over to the Hilton. It was so much easier to do that. And it was so much easier if somebody wanted to go down and go outside to be able to walk outside to the Sheraton. So much better this year with not having that towards that. That was wonderful. Yeah,
you
know, it's great.
Change is always tough.
Yeah.
But after the first time I had walked through the vendor halls, I pretty much knew where everything was. I think people will get used to it and they'll appreciate the fact that it freed up so much programming space and so much crowd space inside the Marriott and the Hyatt.
Yeah, everybody who liked going to the Imperial Ballroom at the Marriott, guess what?
Exactly.
We did that because we didn't have an exhibit hall over there. Well, I've got to say what I liked about it, and I only was able to go, I actually technically went two times, but it was right before they closed both times, 15, 20 minutes. I actually finally got a kilt. So, because I could it's purple and it's a plaid. It was awesome. It was awesome. So I finally got a girlish sporty kilt that I've been wanting forever, but I didn't have enough space or room to really look. And there were three other people in the area with me and we were all able to look and make our purchases without feeling like I was like stepping on them while I was trying to do my stuff. So it was awesome. I loved it.
That is great to hear. And the other good piece is the America's Mart, if we can make it work on all levels, you know, there's so much opportunity for growth there as well. You know, there are multiple floors and all that kind of stuff. And that's all part of, you know, strategy and understanding that, you know, we will continue to grow.
If I'm going to be frank, I have heard, you know, from the vendor's perspective that load in and load out was kind of a bear, but from my perspective, because I have dealt with a much smaller con before and having to deal with the vendors, that's always going to be a problem because everyone shows up at the same time. Everyone's trying to load in, and there's only so much hall space to get things through. Obviously, you guys probably are aware, keenly aware that of those.
Highly aware, yes. And to your point, it will never be an in and out process. However, that is something we are committed to making far better. And actually, our feedback from both the vendors and just being actually present for load in, load out, load out went far, far, far better from load in. And that was just a couple days of some, you know, good discussion and dialogue between us. And as I mentioned, it's just a new partner, you know, and making sure that our show is very different from a lot of, you know, shows out there. And they really work to quickly adapt to that feedback for loadout, and it went much better. And you know, we have expectations and some positive thoughts that we're going to fix load in as well, because that was just for us, never going to be, you know, in and out in 30 minutes. But what the experience was, you know, very challenging, and we're really aware of that.
What's normally in Apparel Mart when obviously Dragon Con's not there? Is it trade shows mostly?
You mean during other times of the year? Because Labor Day is actually not something that they have anything on. But on other times of years, it's a lot of trade shows. They have the gift show, which is a huge Atlanta kind of staple. But, it's just different. It's convention meeting space.
Right, because I'm thinking that if they've mostly been dealing with, you know, trade shows, they aren't necessarily attuned to the amount of merchandise that has to be loaded and pushed through into the halls, because you know, if you go to trade shows, it's usually, you know, a couple of signs and a couple of tables and things like that. But if it's more like you did mention gifts, but if it's more like, even then I'm going to imagine they're not necessarily as much merchandise as Dragon Con is bringing in.
Right. I think they're ready for our size, but not necessarily the nature of the, you know, Dragon Con. But again, lessons learned for everybody across the table. It was a in our opinion, a great year for something new. You know, the people, our team, especially internally, knocked it out of the ballpark and, you know, did the best they could with the new situation. But, you know, luckily now we do have, you know, awesome feedback from the fans and have experienced it before and, you know what battles to fight and what things to tweak and, you know, to make it an even better experience for everyone.
Nice.
Very cool. Nice. Very cool.
So, go ahead, Lee.
Well, I was going to also ask, I mean, well, also kind of ask you guys about this, which is a lot of people said, well, it doesn't matter if I answer anything on the apps or I give feedback. I mean, what do you guys do with the app information?
Oh, yes. That's my favorite. Dave always picks on me because I love analytics. Like, I feel like it's Christmas Day when I get those numbers.
Some of us really do read it. We swear.
Exactly. I would say that. Yeah, don't give us all the feedback you can. So we get the feedback. We actually just got it this week from the app. And so we have a process that we have of kind of scrubbing the data. So without going into too big of things that we don't want to talk about, you know, we really do look at, you know, removing outliers so that, you know, we're really looking at a core score. And we not only give out those numbers to our track directors, which is really, I think, the best of where you kind of see those changes going to place, but we also give out the comments, which is something that is awesome for the track directors, for us on a higher level. And I can say that, you know, I personally use it for guests tremendously. It helps me when, you know, we're out there looking at what shows we should cover, what guests we should have back, what guests we might should not have back, and all those kind of things. So I couldn't even begin to tell you on one, you know, podcast all the different things that it's used for. So I would just absolutely say, please, 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 and that's something that we're going to work with the directors in this next year, is now we have a really solid way to look at it, and we have a lot of practical uses for that information. And how can we even better promote it out to the fans to say, hey, take those couple seconds and, you know, rate it. It's just, you know, 1 to 5, and you can leave a comment or not. But it helps us so tremendously on several different levels to shape the programming for the next year, as well as, like I said, the guest list or, you know, anything you can. So we look at it very much so. And it literally is, when it arrives, I am so happy to be able to see it and look through it and, you know, see what went well, what didn't go well, and kind of help us shape moving forward.
Excellent. And Rachel, it's so funny to hear you like get all geeky about the analytics, because we all knew you were a geek, but now we know you're also a nerd for the analytics and the math part. So yay!
Totally.
Awesome. Evaluation.
I will own it. Awesome. It's so much fun. I get very excited. Anything I can see with that.
Dave, do you get like lots of emails like, look at these numbers, look at our median?
No, but I, as Rachel was saying, it's another tool that we use. You know, we listen mm-hmm. to the guests, we listen to the track directors, we listen to people on email, and then we get all...
You went away again.
We get all this great data from the app, and it helps us form a better view of what's really going on, because, you know, one or two squeaky wheels can skew what we think is happening, but when we get feedback from the guests and everybody else, it lets us, you know, paint a pretty clear picture of what's going on.
Cool. So I guess I should broach the subject too. How was the behavior this year as far as were there any major incidents that were... I don't know. I don't even know if we want to go into this area.
Were people not that guy or that gal? Were there less incidences of them being that person?
Yes.
Yay!
I don't know of any major criminal issues that occurred beyond the usual small assortment of drunk and disorderly, and a lot of that comes from outside. So, yes, I think we had a very successful year in getting our message out about that.
I think we did. Rachel.
Oh, no, I was about to say, and we're just going to continue to do that, because I think that's the one thing is making people as aware as possible. But we definitely, you know, think that some of our actions to tweak our policies this year, and really helped out tremendously. It made for a better, you know, more safe environment. But obviously, we're going to take every opportunity to continue to communicate that to our fans to make sure that everyone is aware if they have, you know, concerns or bad situations, that we're here to help.
And I think the red lanyards, I actually had to help somebody who was not disorderly, but it had a whole lot of fun one night and didn't feel very well for having that much fun, which was good because the red lanyard, they knew to come to me. I got way too much a sense of responsibility. I couldn't walk away. And so, you know, helped them out and felt good about it because, you know, sometimes that happens and you don't want to do that. But the other great thing I did here was the people that were in the hotels were people that wanted to be, that should have been in the hotels or were Dragon Con, should have been there. So the people who were in the hotels were the Dragon Con attendees, and they were very, very glad. And I want to say that to our partners. I hope the hotels are listening or it gets out to them. But that doing the door checks they did really did make a lot of people feel a lot more comfortable. And they did them, you know, especially at night. But they also did them at random times during the day. And that seemed to also help a lot.
Yeah, and I will say, too, back to the policy, is that that even with the tweaking and the clarification in the policy, the harassment policy, I guess, is what it's called.
Non-harassment.
Non-harassment, yes. Yeah. No, our policy is to harass people. No, that's what the policy is. No. No yeah. harassing. That even some folks had mentioned that people are even more polite as far as asking before they took people's pictures. That they mm-hmm. seem to be right. a lot more of that this year than... And, of course, most... 99% of the time, the folks that are cosplaying are going to say sure. They just want to have a moment to set down their stuff or whatever. But the fact that people were more conscious of that, I think, showed up as well. So
yeah. So as we wrap this up, just is there anything that you're looking at next year that you're just like, I can't. If you can share it, the things you're looking at next year that you're just like, I think this will help us take it to the next level, or whether that's a guest or whether that's just, you know, we're just going to buy all of downtown for those 4 days and just live in those high rises anything like that.
No, we don't. I don't look at it that way at all. Oh. I try to look at, let's just try to take small steps and do everything a little bit better. And when we find new areas where we need to make improvement, like the new vendor halls, you know, it's just a little bit of tweaking here and there that can make it a better experience for everybody. So I like to think of it in as small steps. Let's just get a little bit better in everything we do.
Awesome. Somebody
I'm going to go with Dave's answer. Because I, on the guest front, am actually probably a little bit different from that, but... I will not jinx myself on that, seeing as my one I mentioned last time canceled right before the show. So I'm going to now hold fast to my lips sealed until the guests are delivered to my, you know, to the show and you know, are out for our fans. But definitely,
I can't
we have
remember
already started
who you,
this.
I can't
oh,
remember
Arrow,
who you mentioned.
Stephen Amell.
Oh, yeah. But
so,
you got
yeah,
Seth
I, you
Gable
do not know
and
how many
John
notes.
Barrowman from Arrow.
Yeah, but you don't know how many notes I got after he canceled. I mean, it was so sweet. Like, fans that were mad, but then I guess fans that had also heard the podcast, because they would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh,
I'm really bad,
I'm
but
so
I'm sorry for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But, like, you know, but that's something we are actually on the guest front. That's the one part where we do start really saying, you know, a year in advance, what are we looking at? And we rely heavily, just as a plug again for that app feedback, we rely heavily on that to start to... to map out, you know, where do we want to go, who do we want to go with, and all those kind of things.
And I want to say that I keep thinking it's all because, you know, we do this podcast and people listen. But
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Hey, yeah, DragonCon wasn't doing anything before we started this.
Now, Rachel and I do have one secret guest wish list, and that's a secret panel for the actors and actresses from The Wire. They've all done a lot of other genre shows, but we're going to have a stealth wire panel one day, and we'll sneak in David Simon, and no one will understand what's going on but me and Rachel, but we'll be happy.
Idris Elba. We will love it. And we will actually take a break and go see that panel one day.
That will be the one time that was like, where's Dave? Where's Rachel? Nobody knows, but they're having a great time.
Now, I was going to bring this up because this is Dave's first appearance.
That'll be good.
I do have to ask.
Right. You do have to ask Dave. It is his first time.
Because it's his first appearance. Yes. If you could have three guests, money's no object, time, space, whatever, alive
living
or dead.
Dead, fictional, but not zombies, because I don't like zombies.
If you could have any three guests for Dragon Con, who would you personally like to have?
The first one's easy because I relate to him. He's a gamer. He's my age. We married very similar women, and that would be Stephen Colbert.
Awesome.
He's my secret. Get him to come and do a week of shows at the convention like you did for the Olympics. You know, close off the street, give him access to all our guests, which would never happen. But that's my kind of secret.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Right there.
That's so awesome.
Asimov really got me into reading as a kid and reading science fiction. So he would be my number two. And the other dead author I would have, unfortunately he's dead, is Roger Zelazny. I really admire his stuff too.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Very cool. And you're not bringing any gamers though.
He did. Well, Stephen
Colbert's a gamer. So it's all good.
Colbert's a gamer. I guess I was thinking more of like the Steve Jackson or...
No, he grew up playing D&D and all the games I did in high school.
True.
You know,
he's
one of us.
And he's from South Carolina, so he's one of me.
Yes.
Because that's where I grew up. So, yeah. I didn't grow up where he did, though. Damn. Because he was near the coast. But, well, yeah. That Stephen Colbert thing is, like, an awesome idea, actually. I'm just sitting here going, ooh.
I'm waiting for Rachel to write the most persuasive letter ever to Stephen Colbert and land him for us.
He does. He does.
Dude, I'm working on it now.
She's working on it right now.
I'll help you, Rachel. I'll help you with it. We can do, like, a video thing.
Sweet. I think that's awesome. That's really a little creativity. I think that's awesome.
Come on, don't you want to come?
He does have Captain America's shield, so.
He does. He does have Captain America's shield. He is a big geek. I mean, if you see him whenever some of the sci-fi people come on, he is like the biggest geek ever. You're just like, oh my God, you're so adorable.
We've got material to work with.
We do. Ooh, we'll think about it. All right, Rachel, I'll put something together. I'll work with John.
All right, guys. Is there, David or Rachel, is there anything else that you'd like to say before we sign off here?
No, well, thanks for having us. We're always interested in spreading the joy that is Dragon Con. It's a little bit of something or a lot of something for everybody, and we want everyone to have a great time.
But we're only spreading the joy for 4 days.
4 days. That's right.
Lee keeps bringing that up. I don't know why Lee keeps bringing that up.
We can spread the joy as many days as you want. However, the joy will actually be 4 days. Yes.
The official joy is 4 damn days, people.
Before we start, has it surprised you how much people were cosplaying on Thursday?
Oh, tremendous!
It was so amazing. It was crazy.
The one of the funnier ones was late Monday night. I'm heading back to my room at 10:30 in the Hilton, and there were a group of cosplayers on late Monday night, and I was just floored.
Monday night after con
Monday
or before
night
con?
After the convention, after most everyone's gone home and the hotel has cleaned everything up, there were a group of cosplayers in the Hilton lobby taking pictures and having a good old time.
Wow.
I thought it was wonderful.
The hotels.
We saw them on Wednesday night when we were down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did.
I know we want to sign off, but have the hotels been pressuring you to make it to 5 days? Because I believe that they probably are.
I am going to kick you.
Because they're going, at some point, we can get 2 weeks out of this.
From a hotel perspective, I mean, it's funny because what they, you know, care about is happening naturally. Even without the, you know, specific programming and that kind of stuff,
right.
It cracked us up. Maybe 2 years ago, we were in pre-con, and one of our partners that we care very much about, and they're actually dear friends of ours, actually said, hey, is something, what's going on Thursday? There's something's weird. And it was because of the room pickup. So there's really no pressure from them specifically. They get joy out of, you know, just seeing the people there doing their own thing and each year seeing that grow personally and, you know, and everything that comes with it. But they're always impressed. This year we had room pickups starting on like Tuesday, I believe, was where we first started seeing them. And so I just think that's the most amazing thing. People already coming in, getting ready and doing their thing on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to a bartender in the Marriott on Wednesday night, and he was telling me he's from Buffalo, New York. That's where he lives and works. And one of the rewards in the Marriott chain is that if you're a top performer in one of these other cities, you get to go to Dragon Con because they need to staff up with new people. They don't have enough local folks. So the top performers from around the eastern United States get to go to Dragon Con to work. And he said it was the best weekend he's ever had working.
Awesome.
Really?
And I, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I do know that that the fans and the attendees of Dragon Con tip well. They're very courteous. They're very courteous to the hotels and gracious to the hotels, and in return the hotels have been very gracious. So it's been a very symbiotic relationship. So
favorite weekend of the year.
It is absolutely wonderful because I've got to say, I had to stop at a couple of places, did both the Hyatt and the Marriott and the Hilton and at the Westin. Stopped at either ate food or did a quick bar run, and every one of those, they were just absolutely wonderful and wonderful, wonderful people. So we thank all of their staff. Their hotel staff are just awesome. Every year. It's amazing.
They do a great job.
They do. They do, as they say, they have the time of their lives during this. They have a really good time, which is just, that's great to see too, because there's a lot of work that goes on with the hotels, and that they're having as much fun as they are is wonderful to see. So, yay!
All right.
So, it is a testament to our fans, absolutely.
So keep tipping your bartenders, your waitresses, the maids in the rooms, everything else.
Especially the housekeeping folks.
Especially
you know why.
Housekeeping, yes.
All right. Until next time, for David, Rachel, and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.